right, let's do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road. And when I got there,
and I ran, and I ran, and I ran. Chris Uzinski here on Running Flat Radio. Welcome to another edition of Running Flat Radio. If you're not familiar with the show, it's kind of all about running and endurance and all those wonderful things. But one of the things that we're going to do today, and it's kind of out of the ordinary, is it's all going to be all about triathlon and try. We do a weekly email blast out to our subscribing members and runners. It goes out to almost 9,000 runners now every Monday. And you know what? The topic today was, is triathlon dying? And if it's so interesting, I've talked to so many race directors across this country who have a different point of view of what's happening in triathlon, but there is something amiss here. And we're going to talk to some incredible experts about triathlon this week. Tim Wilson, the CEO of Triathlon Canada, is going to join me in the first after the first break, around 15 after the hour, and then half past the hour, our old friend Steve Fleck, who's also the guy who voices Ironman Canada, lifelong triathlete and cyclist, great guy. He's going to be on. Barry Shepley, Hall of Fame Olympic coach, and also he's the coach to our good friend Lionel Sanders. He's also going to be on, and so is Kevin McKinnon, who is the founding editor of Triathlon Magazine here in Canada. So we've really got some excellent experts talking about it, and I literally said no to five or six race directors from around the country who wanted to be on the air with us today talking about it. And I said, you know what we might do is maybe we'll do it as a race director's show, maybe a little bit later on in the season to kind of talk about, you know, the challenges of putting on a small triathlon and getting people out and trying to get the message out. And of course, trying to get the kids out who are going to become, you know, triathletes in their 20s and 30s and 40s continually competing. So it's a fascinating topic. I mean, it's all about getting people involved in the community and getting them out racing. And we're going to talk about that all hour. Stay tuned. You're going to love this. But, you know, one of the things that I do want to talk about is I want to talk about some of our races. Running Flat produces a number of races throughout the year. Mostly 5K, 10Ks, and half marathons. And, you know, tomorrow morning we will release the final medal. All the medals are in with Chris Hadfield on them for our Canada Day event in Amherstburg, Ontario. Don't forget, that's July 1st at 9 a.m. It is almost sold out. And because of the volume of people that we have at this race, I'm not kidding you, we'll know by next Friday if this is not the largest race in the country on July 1st. I know that we're on the cusp of being larger than Ottawa and a couple other major cities in this country, but little old Amherstburg, Ontario, you know, 20 minutes, you know, from Windsor, it's going to be somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 runners for this race. And I'm telling you, we're up there, maybe top three largest races in the country on that day. So stay tuned to that. But because the race is so large, what we've got to do is we need to also do race kit pickup the night before, not just morning of. So we need to get registrants out to the Libro Center on Melosh Road earlier on the Tuesday night from 3 till 8 p.m. And then on the day of the race, we're starting registration pickup and onset registration, if there are some bibs left by then, at 7 a.m., not 8. We usually do it like an hour before or 2 hours before, and don't show up 10 minutes before the gun goes off. Because that would just, you know, that's just difficult to deal with. So definitely come out the night before to Libro Center, pick up your shirt and your bib, and that way you got nothing to worry about. You don't have to wait in any lines except for the starting block for a really, really good time. So that's Canada Day, July 1st, and looking forward to seeing everybody there. Shortly after Canada Day on the Saturday, the fourth is Rock Me Anaphylaxis. It's such a great event because it's all about rock music and having a really big act on the main stage in downtown Windsor at the Fork and Cork. It's a part of the Fork and Cork where we actually use their infrastructure, and we have the Funk Junkies on, who are a great band that does, you know, great funk classics, you know, from the 70s and 80s. And so they're going to be doing all the live music as you're finishing off that 5K. And we have a couple acts along the course as well. Remember, this entire race is all about anaphylaxis and allergy and asthma and raising awareness. And the funds go to the Windsor Asthma Allergy Education Center. So that's also, all these races, by the way, are on runningflat.com, where you can reach them and find out more information. Our friends from Utah, the Color Runner, back July 18th. And that is always an amazing spectacle. This year is a Shine Tour. There is a medal. There's a really cool shirt. And it's a great family event. I recommend you bring your grandfather, your grandmother, you know, the baby in the carriage. Bring them all because it's a great, great time and a great way to take pictures of the whole family with all the color and all the fun. One of our social experiments for the summer, we have our sponsors at 89X, our sister station down here, are joining us for the Walkerville Brewery Craft Draft on August 8th. That is going to be quite the race. Did I tell you it's a beer run? And it's a beer run on a hot August night, on an evening race. And when you register, you have to declare your marital status. So you either get a green bib, a red bib, or a yellow bib. The green bib means I am available. The red bib means I am taken or married. And the yellow bib means, well, it's just complicated. So I know lots of folks are having fun with that. We've even had some bibs switch in the last week or so, which is amazing. They went from green to red. They may end up going back, I'm sure, before the race. You never know. That's the fun of runners and running. But, you know, I had a number of runners come up to me after we announced this race. I said, yeah, you know what? My girlfriends and I, we go for a race. And you know, we see a cute guy, but we never know if they're available. Well, now you'll know. You'll know, and you'll have a beer in your hand, and then you can go talk to them. It's one of our social experiments. We're always trying to push the boundaries at Running Flat, make things more exciting, more fun, and you know, it's Craft Draft, and Walkerville's great beer, so you guys are going to love that. Let's not forget about the Run for Heroes Marathon, half marathon, sorry, 10K Kids Marathon, brought to you by Libro. And of course, a 5K has been added to that as of recent. The event, we're going to have some special announcements coming up in the next couple weeks about hopefully joining with a couple other races on that and kind of expanding our purview on that race. It's an incredible course because it's super flat, it's super fast, it's great scenic. You actually run through historic Fort Malden, the epicenter of the Battle of 1812. And it's such a wonderful race because, you know, all the citizens come out course-wise, you know, aid stations every 2K with Port-a-Johns. It's a fabulous race that you want to be a part of. It's Run for Heroes, and that's September 21st of this year. You have been listening to Running Flat Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk all about triathlon on AM 800 CKLW.
Join the A-Team for Canada Day at Adventure Bay. Adventure Bay Family Water Park, presented by WFCU, is celebrating Canada Day in a big way. On July 1st, take advantage of discounted admission rates of $12 for adults and $7 for children. Plus, $2 from every admission will help support the Windsor Ronald McDonald House. To learn more, visit adventurebay.ca. Sponsored by McDonald's, CTV, and AM 800 CKLW. Supported by Windsor Regional Hospital.
From the AM 800 Weather Center, here is your latest forecast. Clear tonight with an overnight low of 14. Tomorrow, mainly sunny with a daytime high of 26. Thursday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high 19. Friday, a mix of sun and cloud with a high 22. Saturday, a mix of sun and cloud and a high 19. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high 21. Once again, for tonight, clear skies and a low 14.
The following is a paid commercial message.
A lot
lot has changed over the years, and so has Ontario's health and physical education curriculum. It has now been fully updated for the first time since 1998. That's 17 years ago. The curriculum now includes more information about healthy relationships, consent, mental health, and online safety. Learn more at ontario.ca/HPE. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
The issues that matter.
It was very disappointing.
Be heard.
The fact that there was not a restriction on animal ownership imposed in this case.
The Lynn Martin Show, weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800. Keep fit. Keep active. Keep running. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
And it's Chris Uzinski. Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Like I promised, this is our show all about Try. And the man who heads up Try in Canada is on the line with us, Tim Wilson. Tim has had a number of positions. He's actually the CEO of Triathlon Canada. He's had a number of positions with sports organizations in his native Australia since 1990, including executive director of Triathlon Australia. Welcome to Running Flat, Tim.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. Hey, let's talk a little bit about what the role of Triathlon Canada is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Triathlon Canada is responsible for a number of different elements. Our business really expands from developing junior talent right through to having athletes on the Olympic podium. But we also are responsible for, I guess, developing participation and events and ensuring the events are all safe and sanctioned and have insurance, and that triathletes come away from a triathlon event with a full, successful and happy experience.
And just so we can make a parallel here between running and Athletics Canada, you can have a race that's not sanctioned by Athletics Canada, and lots of races are not measured, they're not sanctioned at all across the country, and have been for a number of years. So in the triathlon world, are all triathlons sanctioned by Triathlon Canada?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's certainly our intention, that all events are sanctioned. I mean, it's a mandatory requirement in many countries. In Canada, it's not a mandatory requirement. However, a lot of councils and municipalities have looked at this issue and have, I guess, expressed concern. There is an issue, of course, if someone does get injured in an event that's not sanctioned, and we haven't necessarily endorsed the rules, the course, and the technical officials involved, there is a liability issue. So it's really in the best interest of the race director and the municipality that actually is hosting the event that the event is sanctioned.
Yeah, and also I know, like, from, it's called AC Road, is really the roadside of Athletics Canada, and it's really their hope that if everyone's sanctioned by Athletics Canada or AC Road, that there's a level of expectation, right, that the course is going to be truly measured as 5K, it'll be insured, it'll have, you know, all these proper standards of porta-johns and water stations and hydration, and so like the there's a level of expertise that goes along with that moniker. And so I've always wondered about that. But there are some triathlons that are run without sanctioning at all.
Very, very limited ones. And it's a trending downwards. I think most race directors see the light that they would prefer to err on the side of being part of the bigger picture. And as you said, that provides the quality factor and provides the guides and the guidelines and the rules that are all internationally recognized. So there is the odd event, but generally they're very small. Participation and participant numbers are small in those events. Sometimes they're only raising funding for, you know, a special project. But certainly all the major events and, you know, across the country are all sanctioned.
And how many events are there across the country in a year?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you look at our biggest province, Ontario, we've got at the moment, we've probably got about 65 to 70 events across the country. We've probably got around 350 events. Being staged on any weekend. Keep in mind, in Canada, the season is very short.
That's exactly what I was thinking was, you know, from snow to snow, that's not a lot of weekends to have tries.
No, it's not. And what we find is that over the weekend, there is a lot of opportunity in terms of events being available to any participant. So there is tends to be a real cramming of events, given we've only got a three-month season.
And has there been an uptake in the number of events over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years?
It's probably been, well, let's just go back a step. Probably in the last 5 years, there's certainly been a massive growth in events. And there has been probably in the last period, there's probably been a bit more of a shakeout, where some of those events that weren't drawing the participation levels that they wished have dropped off the schedule. But overall, the events have been steady. We've seen a steady increase, and now we've seen, what we would probably call market maturity, where those events that were small, probably the quality wasn't up to the expectation of the participant, they have tended to drop off. And then you've got the real quality events maintaining and keeping pace with the market.
Now, that's an interesting comment that you made there. We've seen extreme growth here in our runs, because our runs are very, very fun. There's huge themes, and when you look at all the general numbers, 60% of everyone who we get into our runs every year have never run before. But a radio show like this, and the marketing we do and the way we do our events, we lower the threshold and anxiety of people to get into our events, which is pretty easy when you think of a pair of running shoes. Triathlon is way different, right? I mean, you got to swim, you need a bike, and you got to run. I mean, you have those key elements which make it difficult to market to new people. And I'm sure smaller events don't have those marketing dollars or that ability to do that. And you say that there's quality events. Those quality events are larger events, right? I mean, they're not small events.
Yeah, that's right. Well, just to answer your question, I think where you were moving towards was that, yeah, I mean, triathlon has had phenomenal success across the world. And it's because of three major factors. Of course, the swim, bike and run are all easily accessible. Okay, they're not as accessible as a pair of running shoes, because you've got to buy a bike, you've got to learn to ride it. The biggest factor in many countries, not so much Australia, because we're very much a swimming culture, but Canada is very similar too.
Yep.
In that most kids coming through schools learn how to swim, and that's why there's been a huge uptake in our countries. But even if you look at the world trends of triathlon, our biggest growth now is around about 7 or 8%, and that's coming out of Asia. Countries like China, Pakistan, Taiwan, they're all big countries now that are seeing increase in participation, mainly because the major factors of swim, bike and run is more accessible to those people.
So in emerging markets, you're seeing a big increase. And we are also seeing that same type of increase when it comes to Tough Mudder, Color Run, everyone else is going abroad. But what about what's happening in mature markets, I guess, like Canada? And just so I can tell the listeners, for those who don't know a lot about triathlon, this is relatively a new sport. I mean, this is not a sport that's gone on for centuries here. Everything I've read about it says it's really kind of founded in 1978. Is that about the date that?
Yeah, well, certainly there's dates and claims of when the first triathlon was staged, and you know, the Canada, U.S., Australia were all fairly strong countries that were, you know, quick on the uptake to participate in triathlon. But if you looked at the international body, in fact, when we became as an international body, that was in 1989. So, yeah, relatively young, 25 years. That's really nothing when you compare most of our colleagues in other Olympic sports. So massive increase in participation over 25 years. We're now an Olympic sport. We're in the Commonwealth Games. We're about to participate in the Pan Am Games in Toronto. That's a massive, growth, and it's still growing. What's happening is there's the rest of the world is really catching on to what we were doing or just commencing 25 years ago. And that's the situation we face now internationally, is that as other countries get onto the sport, our competition levels increase. So, you know, we've always got to be, Canada's always got to be at the forefront in terms of its elite development to try and maintain the pace with our international competition.
So if we can just take a look at Canada or North America in general, just for a second. If we take out Iron Man and all the iterations of Iron Girl, their Olympic sprint that they're trying to do and everything else, and we take out the Family Challenge Series as well, that leaves us with more homegrown races that have been around, more community-based races. Correct? I mean, that pretty much takes the big nationals out of it?
Yeah. I mean, most of the big events are obviously there for the big events because they've got the large number of participants. But there will always be the smaller event operating out of a YMCA, for instance, in Alberta, events in Nova Scotia that are community-based events. Yep.
Sure. Well, like even Tomato Man locally here in Leamington. There's the kids triathlon too here. At the waterfront in Tecumseh. There's all kinds of wonderful small events in all communities. So when you talk about growth over the last number of years, those are the guys that I'm kind of concerned about, because those are my bread and butter guys too, because they're just like me. And are they seeing the growth in the smaller races, not just the bigger guys with the big marketing budgets?
That's a good question. I really wouldn't be able to speak for the numbers that are appearing in, say, the fairly community-based events. I don't know how those numbers are stacking up. What we can tell you, what I can tell you, is that our participation numbers are generally steady across the province and across the country. You got to, I think, appreciate too that there is a lot of events available. As I said before, on any given weekend, we could have 4 to 5 fairly prominent triathlon events within 2 hours' drive of each other.
Well, yeah, 350 events in 1 year compressed to a 90-day segment, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we in Canada are trying to, I guess one of the challenges for us here in Canada is to try and stretch that season out. And one of the events that we've seen a lot of increase in growth is winter triathlon. And that's probably been a very interesting phenomenon for us, because we are so suited in this country for winter triathlon, which is a snowshoe, a cross-country ski, and a skate. And we've been pushing that at the international level. Well, we're talking, this event is only probably 2 years old, and we've already in Canada staged 2 of those world championship events.
Right.
Both times we've led the world, and it has increased dramatically. Now, if you look at some of the provinces that are now jumping onto this event, they're picking up 5 and 6 events. So this is a growth area. And what it's going to do is that it's going to extend our season and our interest, and our members will, rather than hang up their shoes at the end of September, they're going to be, I guess, adjusting their training to now compete over the winter.
Tim, we're out of time. I thank you very much for joining us and telling us all about what's happening at Triathlon Canada, and have a great day.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, all the best. Bye. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Mike McDonald.
A tractor-trailer crash has closed the westbound 401 at Communication Road in Chatham. Around 2:30 this afternoon, the transport left the road and rolled down a hill on the north side of the nearby overpass. The lone occupant, a 63-year-old Windsor man, was airlifted to hospital where he's listed in critical condition. LaSalle police have made an arrest in connection with a fatal hit-and-run last week. 38-year-old Jared Rusnick is facing charges in the death of 38-year-old Kevin Emish, who was struck while riding his bicycle in the 800 block of Huron Street. Emish was rushed to hospital where he died. The investigation continues. News. A motorcycle crash in the Walkerville area earlier this month has claimed a life. Crash between the motorcycle and a van happened June 4th at the corner of Chilver Road in Richmond. Motorcyclist, a 56-year-old Bell River man, was taken to hospital where he died earlier today. Charges are pending. In sports, Tigers continuing their series in Cleveland tonight. It is scoreless at the end of the first. Blue Jays are in Tampa Bay tonight to face the Rays. That game also scoreless. NHL salary cap is going up for the 2015-16 season. The league and the NHL players Players Association announced today that the cap will go up to $71.4 million. That's an increase of $2.1 million from this season. From the AM 800 Weather Center, clear tonight in a low 14, tomorrow mainly sunny and a high 26. It's 25 Celsius, that's 77 Fahrenheit. I'm Mike McDonald, AM 800 News.
This is your heart on the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. This is your brain on the Hyundai Santa Fe Sport.
Whoa, not so fast. I'm running the numbers here.
This is your heart attacking your brain.
Ow, stop it. Ow, hey, my calculator, my stem.
This is your heart and brain on the 2015 Santa Fe Sport for just $24,995.
Oh, yeah, this is amazing. Where's all this serotonin coming from?
Get up to 12 weekly payments on us.
On now at Windsor Hyundai, EC Rowe and Manning.
When you hear about it, don't just talk, react.
I'm just saying we need to get away from the traditional way of thinking.
Well, they say the decision is not being changed. We are not giving up the fight.
I have identified 11 violations by their administration.
The Lynn Martin Show, the only open line talk show in Windsor, Essex.
What's he going to do about revamping the insurance system in this province so they don't have to pay through the nose?
Weekdays 9 till noon on AM 800. Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio, our triathlon edition. Just before the break, we have to quickly go into news. Was Tim Wilson, the CEO of Triathlon Canada, talking about the 350 events that happened really within a 90-day window here in Canada. That is a lot of events from coast to coast. So I've kind of assembled this dream team panel who's on next. Starting with my old friend Steve Fleck, who's a lifelong cyclist and triathlete. He works for endurance sports races and events as an announcer. He's the official race announcer for Recharge with Milk Triathlon Series. And if you've done an Ironman in Canada, you've probably also heard Steve's voice as well. Steve, welcome to Running Flat Radio.
Great to be on the air with you, Chris.
Hey, thanks,
man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next is Barry Shepley, a name that we know locally here, a Hall of Fame Olympic coach for Canada, co-founder of Canada's Kids of Steel program that's across the country, and he's also an international TV analyst and coach of our past guest and good friend Lionel Sanders. Welcome, Barry.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. And lastly, Kevin McKinnon, who was a pro triathlete for 9 years. He is a coach and an announcer and a journalist since 1993 when he retired. And he's also the founding editor of Triathlon Magazine in Canada. Welcome, Kevin.
Hello.
So, you know what? Thanks, guys, for joining me today. You know, one of the things that kind of spurred on this entire triathlon show was I'd heard a number of race directors really complaining of numbers being down from year to year. And I'm not talking by a little bit, but by a lot. And triathlons in general aren't very large events unless you go to, you know, that Ironman style race, which has, you know, a couple thousand competitors and plus more. But, you know, I'm talking about the guys who've got, you know, 200, 300, 400 folks going out, doing their first try. And that's what spurred on this entire show. So I really want to talk to you guys individually about what do you think's going on in these markets? Steve, you want to start?
It's Steve here. And Chris, I would think Tim Wilson, who was on earlier, kind of alluded to that. It's really sort of best of times and worst of times. Not really worst of times, but not clearly the best of times. I mean, the sport is large, reasonably large. It's healthy. But growth in North America has kind of flattened out at a participatory rate. It grew really well for 10 years, starting in around 2000. And then I'd say in the last two or three, it's kind of flattened out. And I think it's caught a lot of people and certain kinds of events by surprise.
Barry, what are you seeing out there? I mean, you're so entrenched in this, and especially at the levels you were at as an Olympic coach, and now you're actually, coaching elite athletes. What are you seeing out there?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, if you look at the Essex County model, you know, Leamington Tomato Man, the Windsor, you know, Triathlon that started off as the Auto Man, Bell River, a few other of those events. One of the things that I see happening, once people have sort of committed to an Ironman, they don't race very often in a season. So I would say that there are actually more net triathletes in Canada this right now than at any point in all of history. The issue is that they aren't necessarily showing up in Essex County as often as we did, say, back when Jamie Kazarak and Dan Murray and Donna Laurie and those great athletes from Windsor and Essex County were racing 20 years ago. You know, the Windsor race was one of the biggest races. Laurie Bowden, the Hawaii Ironman champion, I can remember her doing the Windsor Automan Triathlon. And so at that era, there weren't as many options. There weren't nearly as many half Ironman races or Ironman races. And so now what I see happening are people, they might actually come out and volunteer at the Automan or the Leamington race, but they're not actually participating as much. So one of the issues I think that the sport needs to see are the sort of recruitment of newbies. You know, these people who are doing these sort of 1 hour to 2 hour races, two or three in a summer, mostly in their own county, because that's having an impact. When I talked to John McKibben from Windsor and some of the other events, that there are more people training. There just aren't as many people showing up at the local race. And yet when you go last weekend in Mount Tremblant, you know, 2,500 people were there. So it's not that they're not showing up, but they're showing up in bigger events, training more often and not racing quite as often at the local level.
So let me ask you, Kevin, you know, in all of your years as a professional triathlete and then, you know, working as a founding editor of a magazine, do you think, you know, when you look at the maturity of the sport, you think it's just money? Like, it's just cost, because Ironman costs so much. You know, it's like a $5,000 weekend by the time you travel, ship your bike, register, buy your gear, you know, get your flight, that there's just no money left in the pool?
Well, no, I think cost has always been an issue, but it's stayed pretty much the same. Like, you look at the demographics, this is why sponsors want to be involved with triathletes, right? You know, the average income of a triathlete in Canada is 150 grand a year. Average age is 38. 98% of them have post-secondary education. This is a very sort of wealthy crew. So they can totally afford to do these events. I think Barry was 100% bang on, and I know he'll remember coaching back in the 90s. And, you know, we used to, I was just recounting with someone today, I can't remember all the times that I would have people do a shorter race and then go and do the run course again, because we didn't have all of these different options. So I think the issue is now that you just have so many people who are focusing on some of the bigger races. So the best example I can give is the Milton Triathlon last year, when Mitch Fraser and the rest of the crew from Trisport Promotions were setting up on the Saturday morning for the Sunday morning race. There were 30 people from Milton who got into Kelso or Lake Kelso, Kelso Lake, to go for an open water swim. Not a single one of them was doing the race the next day. They were all getting ready for Mont Tremblant, the Ironman.
Any follow-up from Barry or Steve on how we get people involved?
Go ahead,
Barry.
Well, I think one of the key elements is that there needs to be a little bit more focus on the club development on newbies, because, and again, I emphasize that I put on two winter triathlons indoors. So I heard Tim before we came on talking mm-hmm. about, you know, the winter actual events of snowshoeing and so forth. But these indoor races are 15-minute swim, 15 minutes on electronic bike, and 15 minutes running on an indoor track. And, you know, we got about 35 to 50 new people who said, hey, that's not that intimidating. I don't even have to own a bike. I can just show up in my bathing suit and running shoes and do this 45-minute race. So I think there needs to be more of that, you know, sort of bare bones, very inexpensive, just getting people started, using a mountain bike or whatever else you have. And then eventually when they feel the love that this is something I'm going to do a lot, you know, then they will go and buy a much more expensive bike and a wetsuit and the other elements. But some of the organizations and clubs have sort of focused a bit more on the higher end guys, you know, who are getting ready for a half or an Ironman or racing in Chicago this year at the World Champs. And I think that might be having a bit of an intimidating factor of scaring some people away. And Kevin can certainly tell you with, you know, the Iron Girl race they had in Grimsby the last two or three years, you see 700 women, many of them first-timers on a mountain bike.
Right.
And that kind of flavor, I think we need to be pushing more and more at the local level.
Well, and just to follow up on that, if I could.
Steve? Yeah, go ahead.
Just to follow up on that, you know, Barry is, I think, 100% right again. I agree with him on that front. But the other thing to remember is the fact that, you know, Barry's doing these races and getting the newbies in, that's what's keeping this stuff going. 40% of the people who do Ironmans in North America are first-timers or doing their first-time Ironman. 50% of those are one and done. So yeah. it without those, without the newbies who are coming in, Ironman and would not be growing the way it is. I think, you know, I what I would say is don't sell yourself short. You know, we're doing a good job. We're doing a reasonable job of getting newbies in, but for the sport to grow now, we need to get a lot more of them. So, well, you know, we need to do more of that.
Kevin, let me ask you a question. And I see, and you see, you know, the kind of guy or gal who, you know, they want their check mark beside, you know, Mount Everest, their check mark, I rode up Mount, you know, El Duez, their check mark, I did an Ironman, their check mark, I did Western States 100.
I know where
how do you
coming.
Keep those people in the sport rather than they just got their Ironman t-shirt and their logo and they can move on?
Hey, you know, Barry, you know, I don't work for Ironman any longer, but certainly that was one of the things that we spent so much time trying to figure out. That is the challenge, because it is, you know, it's you know, you see the same thing with marathon running as well. So many people work their way up through the distances, they get the marathon done, and then they move on. And then, you know, you see so many of them heading off to triathlon. You see so many of them heading off to cycling. And that is the big challenge right now, is to figure out how to get these people to stick around, you know. And I think the creation of the 70.3 series was a huge step in that direction. I think if that had not come along in 2005, we would have seen all of this happen 5, 6, 7 years ago, rather than what we're seeing now in terms of that plateauing that Steve was talking about.
And you know, it's the same thing in marathon, right? In marathon over the last 12 years, the marathon number in North America has not changed. It's 500,000 marathoners, period. A lot of those are, you know, first-time doers and did it, you know, it's on my bucket list, and some of those are, you know, I do 4 a year. But that number hasn't changed. The massive growth we've had in the last decade has been through half marathon. And then, of course, in the last 4 years has been, you know, the color run and all the really, really fun events, you know, where we kind of lower the anxiety and the expectations of a very, very competitive event and make it into a very fun event. And maybe that's what you're talking about when it comes to mountain bikes on the course with an Iron Girl or you know, having much more lower entry and expectation of professional performance, I guess, is probably a better way of putting it.
Well, and one of the things I would certainly love to see us explore more, just to follow up on what Barry was suggesting and talking about, the club system, you know, creating more team events, more club events, more relays, and getting that kind of stuff happening, I think is possibly something that could really help. I don't know what you think on that front, Barry and Steve.
Big time, yeah. I'm going in 2 weeks down to St. Andrews, the challenge race, which is a rival of Ironman. And we have 38 people going, and half of them are making up a relay team, one swimmer, one biker, one runner. And, you know, suddenly, A, they're involved in the sport, but then suddenly they see somebody else who looks like them doing the whole race, and they go, wow, that 70-year-old guy, that 65-year-old woman's doing that, maybe next year I'll do the whole thing. So I think the relay and the team camaraderie is a big element of it for sure.
Well, and I also love the ITU relays that we've been starting to go. You know, certainly my son has been doing them. A lot of the kids that I'm coaching are getting the opportunities to do these relays at some of the junior events across the country, where everyone does a swim, a bike, and a run, and they're short and they're quick, and the kids have a riot with them. And I would just love to see us, you know, start creating some more events like that. I think too that would be really helpful.
You know, in Essex County, guys, we have two schools dedicated to hockey. I kid you not. There's a school here in Windsor that has a hockey program where you enroll your kid and he plays hockey all day and all night, you know, between classes. And we also have one out in the county that does the same thing. That's a private school that does that. And I was thinking to myself, what if we actually, because according to Canadian government statistics, more kids swim in this country than play soccer, which is number two, and hockey's number three. Every kid's got a mountain bike in the garage and every kid's got a pair of sneakers.
Well, this is Canada, Chris, so I wouldn't be surprised that there's hockey schools and hockey academies. It makes perfect sense. And I don't think, you know, triathlon's not going to ever be like a massive, huge sport at the level of, you know, basketball or hockey or even swimming. It's always going to be a minor sport. But just to extend what Barry and, you know, and Kevin were talking about, I think with all due respect to Ironman and the World Triathlon Corporation, which is sort of the parent company,
right.
I think the sport, in terms of the participatory level, has kind of painted itself into a box in that triathlon equals Ironman or a 70.3. And all these interesting new formats that we're all talking about, and Barry talked about them, and Kevin talked about them, and we see this in running, like the very interesting new formats and races and events. I mean, you're involved with Color Run here in Canada,
right.
The mud runs, the obstacle runs. This millions of people have, you know, taken on the challenge of doing some kind of a physical activity, and with mostly running in these races in the last few years. Whereas triathlon, we've kind of defined it as this thing. It has to be an Ironman, or it has to be a 70.3. And I think what we need to do collectively is kind of open up our minds. Tim talked about that in terms of, hey, this is Canada. We've got snow on the ground for half of the year. Maybe it's winter triathlon. I don't know what that new interesting format is going to be. But I think an education process needs to go on to the triathlon population in general that, hey, there's these other things that you can do. Kevin, you talked about the relay format, and I wish people could see that relay format. I watched the one from Hamburg last year. Barry, you made the race call on that. That was the most amazing racing and endurance sports racing of any kind that I've seen in the last few years.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of elements that you guys are coming back to. And one of the things that, you know, I think, Chris, from a Canadian perspective, it's easy to get kind of caught into the North American, certainly much more focused around Ironman. If you travel around the world, you know, for example, the Brownlees in 2 weeks have a race, Alistair and Johnny, in their town, sold out with 5,000 people, and most of them are under the age of 16. Like, you know, they're wow. getting these young people in at the very short distance. And we are seeing one of the most popular growth distances is the sprint, because I can do that whole thing in 55 minutes for an average good athlete to maybe 75 minutes to a rookie. And I don't have to really put that much training. I can still go golf in the afternoon or cut my grass or whatever. And so, you know, I think part of it is, the initial image is that, wow, I'm not a real athlete if I do something that only lasts 65 or 70 minutes. I mean, this Ironman thing takes, you know, 10 to 14, 15 hours. So part of it is breaking down that macho element of it, that I can do something that I only have to train 5 hours a week for. I can still play my ice hockey or go play tennis in the afternoon. And it doesn't take a lot of equipment or time. And so I can definitely see that happening in other countries. Much more than in North America, where still the Ironman brand has had a very prevalent aspect, because it got started in North America. You know, some of the top athletes have been in Canada, and now there's 3 or 4 Ironman races in our own country.
You know, gentlemen, we're totally out of time. I would love to continue this conversation, because I got a million questions, like, why don't we have heroes in endurance sports, you know, like they do in basketball and like they do in hockey and everywhere else?
Like Simon Whitfield?
Well, yeah, like Simon, but Simon's gone,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Have some heroes. They're just not as famous as some of those.
I know. We're not putting them on cereal boxes. So let's look. Well, you know, we can save that for another day. But Kevin, Barry, Steve, thank you very much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to people who are right there in the thick of it and have been pioneers in the sport for so many years. Thanks for joining us.
Keep up
the good
work.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
all the best.
Chris.
You are listening to Running Flat Radio, and it's time for Song of the Week really, really quickly, because we are out of time. The Moth and the Flame is the band, and the song is The Young and Afraid. Put this on your download. It's an awesome tune. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Hey, have you heard about this show, The Affair?
Very hot. It won the Golden Globe for Best Drama this year.
And Ray Donovan?
Now he is definitely hot.
Masters of Sex?
Totally hot.
Homeland, Weeds, Nurse Jackie? They're all part of the Showtime collection that's now on Crave TV.
Crave TV?
Yeah, $4 a month gets you hundreds of amazing series.
Cool.
And hot.
Yeah, cool.
Like Ray Donovan?
He's hot and cool.
Okay, this could go on forever.
Crave TV. All you can watch for $4 a month with your TV subscription. For details, visit cravetv.ca.
And now the latest forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Clear tonight with a low of 14. Tomorrow, mainly sunny with a daytime high of 26. Thursday, cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and an afternoon high of 19. Friday, a mix of sun and cloud and a high 22. Saturday, a mix of sun and cloud and a high 19. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers and a high 21. Once again for tonight, clear skies and an overnight low of 14.
We ask people, what makes McCafe coffee so good?
It's smooth, it's delicious,
aromatic.
It's fresh, it's fast.
They make it perfect every time.
I like the flavor and also like the value.
You definitely should go try one.
You need to try McDonald's coffee.
You have to try it.
The rich, smooth, and delicious taste of McCafe premium roast coffee.
I'm switching.
Buy any 7 hot McCafe beverages and get the 8th medium free. Only at McDonald's.
Give it a try and it'll be your new favorite.
At participating McDonald's restaurants in Canada, see restaurant for details.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
I know, I can't fit all this into 1 hour. I keep telling the guys here at Bell Media, it's just 1 hour is not enough to talk about what we do because we're all so passionate about it. And you can hear it in the voice of, you know, Steve Fleck, Barry Shepley, and Kevin McKinnon, the guys who just joined us. And I'd like to get them back. Maybe in a couple of weeks, we're going to do another show with some race directors of triathlons, especially the smaller kind of hometown triathlons, and really kind of get their perspective on the sport because they're the ones who are losing the numbers overall to what we've seen. And these are anecdotally, right? I mean, where people are saying, hey, you know what, these triathlons aren't doing so well now. And that was the reason for doing this whole show, was to kind of, get some of these larger officials and larger in life people that we've always heard about in the sport, get them on air and get their views of what's really happening behind the scenes. And I mean, look, at 2 years ago, I think Ironman had 64 events in North America, and today I think there are over 140 some odd. So I mean, there's been a dramatic growth in events, which also has increased their participation levels. But I think there, those 64 events, if you looked at them, there actually have less participants in them today than they had 3, 4, 5 years ago. Anyway, I've said my piece about triathlon. Next week, we are off for Canada Day for the big race. Obviously, we're doing race kit pickup on Tuesday night. And the week after, we come back with the Premier of Ontario, Kathleen Wynne's going to join me on the air. And we're going to talk about running and why it's important to run in Ontario and get fit. And you know, how does that, you know, help our healthcare costs, you know, and OHIP and everything else. It's an interesting conversation. Yes, I did go for a run with Kathleen Wynne last Friday. It was an honor. You know, when the Premier calls and says, hey, you want to go for a run? Thou goes for a run, folks. And it was a lot of fun, joined by a number of some Running Flat folks and our friends. You have been listening to Running Flat Radio. For more information about anything that we talk about, it's on runningflat.com. That's where all of our races are. You can also listen to Running Flat Radio past episodes there, or go to iTunes and just subscribe to them and listen to them. Like, this will be up by tomorrow afternoon. A couple of things that we want to talk about race-wise. Canada Day, we do have registration on Tuesday night. And we also have registration day of on Wednesday. And for those folks, it starts at 7 a.m. 9 a.m. is a race. The kids' race is at 9 a.m. The earlier, the better for everybody to pick up their bibs and their shirts. Rock Me Anaphylaxis on the Saturday, July 4th, out of the Fork and Cork. Amazing waterfront course, lots of entertainment, lots of allergy-free foods, because that's the whole point. It's all about anaphylaxis and allergy awareness. The Color Run, July 18th, the Shine Tour is here, and it is always a messy event, 100% of the time, and you'll just love that. The Craft Draft, the Walkerville Craft Draft, Walkerville Brewery Craft Draft 5K, August 8th, 6 p.m., you declare yourself single, married, or It's complicated with a yellow bib. It's a lot of fun. And we actually have a young gentleman registered from Nebraska who's single, who's flying in from Nebraska. You don't know. Maybe he'll meet his mate. I don't know. I certainly hope so. Make it worth his while, make it worth his trip. But a lot of people from Ottawa and Toronto as well coming down for Walkerville Brewery's Craft Draft in historic and trendy Walkerville. Don't forget about Run for Heroes. It's been our signature event for a number of years. Started off as a World Alzheimer's Day run, which was an ultra marathon, and then we made it into a marathon. We dropped the marathon end of last year, so we just have the half, the 10K, the 5K, and the kids marathon, which is brought to you by Libro. And what's amazing about that event is you're at home, don't know what to do with the kids, because by the end of this week, they're going to be sitting at home driving you crazy. Up on your fridge is this chart, and they have to chart 41 kilometers between now and September 20th. That's what they got to do. Whether it's 500 meters at a time or 100 meters at a time, who cares? But it gets them focused, gets them doing it, and then they come and run the last kilometer with us that day and get a real marathon medal. So it's pretty cool. And all the proceeds to that go to our friends at the Alzheimer's Society or Windsor and Essex. And don't forget about Zombie Chase. I know we forgot to talk about Zombie Chase because it's Thanksgiving weekend, but you know what? There's no better way to really spend Thanksgiving Saturday than dressing up or being chased by zombies on a 5K course along the waterfront. It's an awesome time. The medal glows in the dark. The shirt's super cool. All those races and more are on runningflat.com. And I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. And don't forget, keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode. Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program. Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.